Today, friends, again we come to you with studies in the book of Mark, the Gospel through Mark. We are rejoicing in the fact that so many of you are listening in, and we appreciate your letters and especially your prayers. Sometimes your letters are a real encouragement to me, and I want to thank you very much personally for your prayers, for your encouragement, for your gifts that make this broadcast possible. We rejoice in the fact that the Lord has made it possible by the Spirit of God, through His Word, to reveal to you and me His precious will and His purpose, especially for those who put their trust in Him. Now, we're in the Gospel through Mark chapter 14. Now, I want to go back to verse 32. Verses 32, right on down through verse 36. And I read, "And they came to a place which was called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. He taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed, to be very heavy. And he said to them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto you. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." I think we've come to a very, very intense portion of Scripture. In our last lesson, we were discussing the fact in verses 27 and 28 of how the Lord told his disciples that all of you shall be offended with me tonight. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. We were discussing the fact of the relationship between the Savior and his disciples. For you remember right following this, Peter and the disciples, all of them said that they would rather die with him. They would never deny him. They all said this. They all didn't know what the score was. These men believed they could do that. Please don't think for one moment that when Peter said, though all should be offended, yet will not I, I'll die with you. I'll not deny you. He meant every word of it. But as I say, Peter didn't know Peter. But the Lord Jesus did, and the Lord loved him. That's why I said in verse 28, after I am risen from the dead, I will go before you into Galilee. He still loved them. But now let's go down into the garden itself. And the Savior took Peter, James, and John, and he told them to watch and to pray, you remember. And when he came back, he found them sleeping. I don't believe any one of us can begin to plumb the depths of our Lord's experience in the Garden of Gethsemane. Verse 34 we read, he said to them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry here, you stay here and watch. Watch and pray and so on. I'd like to read a verse to you from the book of Hebrews chapter 5. We read concerning our Savior, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his piety. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, having completed the job, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him, that put their trust in him. Who in the days of his flesh was strong, crying and tears unto him that was able to save him out of death, he was heard because of his piety. Remember that our Lord wept three times. He wept over the city of Jerusalem. I quote from Luke chapter 19. This was loud weeping because they were choosing a destroyer instead of a savior. Then in John chapter 11, you have a quiet weeping. It's a different word altogether. He stood by the side of Mary and Martha, and we read, and Jesus wept. He entered into the sorrow of Martha and Mary, and he comforted them. And then this one in the Garden of Gethsemane. And this is a different word yet. It's deeper. I question whether any one of us can begin to understand the depths through which the Lord Jesus went when he went into the Garden of Gethsemane and could say, my soul is exceeding troubled even unto death. Here is a thing between himself and his Father. In Luke chapter 22, verses 42 to 44, we have the agony was such and the test was so severe that an angel came and strengthened him. Here you have the intenseness of what our Lord went through. He poured out his soul unto death. You remember Isaiah 53, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, they shall see his seed. He poured out his soul unto death. Listen, let me just guard one thing. I'm well aware of the fact that the important part of the work of Christ in his sacrifice for us was his separation from God. My soul is exceeding troubled unto death. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The sinless one, the holy, righteous, sinless Son of God, who challenged his enemies, which one of you convinceth me of sin, should become that damnable thing called sin in order to put it away, to satisfy the righteous character of God. None of us can understand. None of us can enter into this. But please remember, he not only was separated from God and he poured out his soul unto death, but his very body in which he lived was crucified and his blood was shed. It's the whole. He died for the whole man. The whole man died. You know, one time I was dealing with a party who told me this. I'm not going to go all the detail of it. But she was very insistent that the blood of Jesus Christ, though he be the Son of God, could not atone for her sin. She said, I don't believe in this fact that the blood of any man, though he claimed to be the Son of God, could atone for my sin. The death of a body can't atone for my soul. This is what she was after. And I said to her, you ever read your Bible? In Isaiah 53, it pleased the Lord to bruise him when thou shalt put him to grief. You remember that? And he shall pour out his soul unto death. He shall give his soul an offering for sin. I repeat it. It's absolutely impossible for the human mind or the human heart to enter into this hour of Gethsemane. His disciples slept through it all. They slept with him on the Mount of Transfiguration in his glory. They slept with him in his agony down here in the garden. I repeat it, there's no human mind can begin to explain the depths through which our Savior went in the Garden of Gethsemane. But he came forth victorious. Look at verse 36. Father, all things are possible to you. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. And you remember in John chapter 18, when Peter chopped the fellow's ear off, the Lord Jesus said, put your sword up in your sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father hath given me to drink? You see, he came forth from the garden victorious. He came forth as a conqueror. He came forth as one, a perfect peace, perfect assurance, even though he was going to a cross and being made that damnable thing called sin for you and for me. For he was made sin for you and me. And he bare our sins in his own body on the cross. And here is the sinless one in the presence of a righteous Father. Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Not my will, but your will be done. And he sweat, as it were, as Luke says, he sweat, as it were, drops of blood. And an angel came and strengthened him. You see, friend, it's impossible for the human mind to begin to think, or for the human heart to experience, or for us to understand what our Savior went through, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, just for you, just for me. He poured out his soul unto death. And then you remember following this, as I said in our last lesson, he came and he found his disciples sleeping. Go down to verse 41. The hour is come, behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Arise, let us go. He that betrayeth me is at hand. Oh, the love the Lord Jesus had for these men. He just stood by, as I said in our last lesson, he just stood by and let them sleep. They needed it. Now he said, the betrayer is at hand. Come. Verse 43. And immediately while he yet spake, becometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given him a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him, lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, Master, Master, Rabbi, Rabbi, kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword. This is Peter. And he smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Jesus answered and said to them, Are you come out as against a thief with swords, with staves, to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you took me not. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. Let me just stop for a moment. Notice, please, how they came. They couldn't understand this. Pilate brought a great crowd with him with swords and staves to take Jesus. He said, I was with you in the temple. You didn't take me. I didn't carry a sword. I didn't carry a sword. I didn't carry a spear. My disciples don't carry any tools of war. But this is your hour, as Luke says. This is your hour and the hour of darkness. Betrayed by a kiss. You know, I can understand this man, Judas. Sold out to the devil. And he says, I'll not just point him out to you. I'll go right up to him. I'll put my arms around him and kiss him. You take him. You see, friend, it's just absolutely impossible for us to understand the depths to which unbelief will go, the depths to which a soul that is sold out to money will go, because money had become the god of Judas, and he betrayed him with a kiss. Again, I say, may the Lord deliver you and me from a materialistic philosophy, which seems to be the order of the day. Deliver us from the love of money, from covetousness. He'd even come into a garden and kiss the Son of God and say, take him. They took him. And dear Peter took his sword and chopped the fellow's ear off. May I suggest something? The scripture must be fulfilled. In verse 49, Jesus said, Are you come against me as a thief with swords, with staves to take me? Are you coming out as against a thief? I was daily with you in the temple, teaching you. Why don't you take me then? No, the scriptures must be fulfilled. Oh, I'm reminded of the 40th Psalm, 6-8, where Jesus said, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, for thy word is in my heart. He's willing to go and pour out his soul unto death. The hour is come. As I said a while ago, when the mob came with Judas, our Lord was perfectly calm. The victory had been gotten in the garden. And either sinless one is going to be made sin. This was his Father's will. Again I say, you can't find one time in the life of our Savior that he ever walked or moved out of his Father's will. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. I came to not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. I do always the things that please him. Not my will, but thine be done. And when he left the Garden of Gethsemane and met the mob, he came forth as a victorious one. The battle had been won. The scriptures must be fulfilled. And he was the calmest one of the group. Disciples were scared. Even though Peter chopped the fellow's ear off, he ran with the rest of them. And by the way, don't tell me that Peter is a good swordsman. Would you mind me doing this in closing today? Would you mind me just following through these disciples? Bless their hearts. They loved the Savior. They loved the Savior, but they were scared. They didn't understand, like so many of us. Verse 29 to 31, they all declared they would rather die than leave him. And then in verse 40, he found them sleeping when they should have been praying. And then you find in verse 47, the manifestation of flesh. Could I make it personal with Peter? Just bring it down to Peter. And Luke chapter 22 gives the whole line of it. You remember? And Peter said, though all should forsaking depend upon Peter. His first step down, self-confidence. His second step down, he slept when he should have prayed. His third step down, manifestation of flesh in the presence of the manifestation of the power of God. For you remember in John 18, Jesus said, whom seek ye? They say, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am. And when he said, I am, they all fell backward to the ground. Manifestation of the power of God. And Peter took his sword and cut the fellow's ear off. And don't tell me Peter's a swordsman. Peter's a fisherman. I personally believe that dear Peter was willing away with that sword to chop the fellow's head off. And all he got was the ear. And the tenderness of the Savior, remember, the Lord picked up the ear and put it back on again, healed the man. See. Now these details are not given in Mark's gospel. Manifestation of flesh. Then you have Peter following afar off. Do you remember? And Peter followed afar off. In verse 54, Peter followed afar off. But he's still following. But he's afar off, like a lot of Christians today. Then I read that he sat down with the enemies of Christ. Verse 54 on. He sat down with the enemies of Christ. Verse 66. And one of the maids saw him warming himself at the fire, and she said, you also belong to Jesus of Nazareth. And he denied not. And when he went out to the porch, the cock crew. And a maid saw him again and said, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And an hour afterwards, they that stood by said again to Peter, you're one of them. You're a Galilean, and your speech betrayeth you. And I really began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. And the second time, the cock crew, the last verse of the chapter. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said to him before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought upon it, he wept. As Luke 22 says, he went out and wept bitterly. You see, friend, when we deny the Savior, we're talking about the end of the test. Will you, may I remind you again of it? I don't mind repeating it. What was Peter's trouble? First of all, self-confidence. Secondly, he slept when he should have prayed. Thirdly, manifestation of the flesh. He cut the fellow's ear off. And then, fourthly, he followed afar off. Fifthly, he sat down with the enemies of Christ and warmed himself at their fire. What's the next thing? He denied his Lord with oaths and curses. But he still loved the Savior. And he went out and wept bitterly. No wonder Jesus loved these men. Jesus knew all about it. And he still loved them. Isn't it an amazing thing? How the Lord really loves his own people. Do you know, friend, with all your failures, with all your weaknesses, he still loves you. He still loves you. Why don't we revel in his love these days? Why don't we revel in his love these days? Why don't we just give ourselves entirely over to him? And may I close again? Why did Jesus go through all this? Just because he loved you. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He manifested his love for his own by sacrifice. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if you and I would just love the Savior and give ourselves entirely over to him, that in everything he might be manifested as Lord and Master. And may our fellowship, may our relationship with him be perfect and complete. And may you enjoy him today for himself. And the Lord bless you for his precious name's sake.